Sabbath. Does anybody know where I got the words?
Isaiah.
Isaiah. Let's go there and read that as we begin. Isaiah chapter 58. Probably read this again while we're talking about the Sabbath today. We talked a little bit about in Sabbath school how the Sabbath is God's covenant with us, or his seal. The Sabbath is something that no matter how wicked a person I've been or how little I know, if I learn that Yahweh is the creator and I decide I want to be a follower of his, it's kind of like a person who goes to a political rally. They go there and they show up, and it's considered as support. So when I cease from doing my labor on the Sabbath, I'm actually saying that I believe you are up there and you did create the earth and you've given us this commandment, and I want to obey it. I'm doing the best I can. And then he begins to work with us to help us do other things. Isaiah 58:13 says, "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." That's a really powerful verse, and it has a great promise. Riding upon the high places of the earth, you know, that's symbolic. It might be a little hard for us to understand, but it means that things will go good for us. We'll be blessed. Feeding us with the heritage of Jacob our father, you know. Abraham and his descendants were promised everything. The earth. And it's saying that that's not saying we're going to be rich right now, but we're going to be fed with the heritage of Jacob our father, given good things and helped out and taken care of. Like I said, it doesn't mean everything's going to be perfectly easy for us today, but it does promise great blessings. And as we talk about it today, we kind of want to break these verses down and think about them, think about what the Sabbath is. Because I really think, and this isn't judging anyone sitting here, I'll use myself for an example. I've kept the Sabbath for, you know, going on 40 years, and what I realized just not too many years ago is that I really never knew how to keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a day that we're supposed to love. It's supposed to be the greatest day of the week. But the Sabbath for me for years really wasn't the greatest day of the week, because if our focus is on the world, on making money, on loving things in the world, having fun, doing things, then the Sabbath is the most restrictive day of the week. So if we're not careful, the Sabbath is a burdensome day. And that's what Satan wants it to be to us. He wants it to be a day that is a sad day. The world has tried to eclipse the Sabbath. It's Satan's goal to do that. To most people, the greatest day of the week is Saturday night. Saturday night. They all go to town, do all these fun things. It's the time of joy. So if we're not careful, we fall into that mold of actually hoping the Sabbath passes quickly so we can get to Sabbath evening. So, you know, Satan has done those things to cause us not to be able to get the joy out of it. So if we're not careful, we're keeping the letter of the law, but not the spirit of the law. And Jesus came to teach us how to keep the spirit of the law. And we're going to talk a little bit today about how the Jews got into some of the problems they got into with the Sabbath day, doing the things that they did. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 23. We'll start in verse 1. Leviticus 23:1, it says, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. He says here, these, he calls them feasts, but he says they're holy convocations. Now, convocation means meeting or assembly. It means coming together. And so the very first one, we're not going to read all the rest, but we're going to read verse 3. Here he reiterates the seventh day Sabbath. He says, 6 days shall work be done. See, there really wasn't any two-day weekends in the Bible. We do need some time off, but in God's book it was work 6 days, rest the seventh day. The world's tried to turn Sunday into a day of rest also to compete with the Sabbath day of rest, but God's commandment is 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. It means a holy assembly. So God has actually commanded us that we're supposed to come together on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day isn't my day to, you know, just sleep all day or, you know, go do this or go do that, you know. That's not to say if I'm tired, maybe I need to catch up on some sleep, you know. It could be different for us at different times, but it shouldn't be always that way. So it's supposed to be a holy convocation. It says, ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. And this is reiterated for us if you turn back to Hebrews chapter 10. Beginning in verse 22, Hebrews 10, in verse 22, says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Tells us there we're supposed to, provoke's kind of a strong word. He's saying kind of help us each other, provoke us, push us along to good works. That means lift your brother up. If you see him slipping a little bit, try to give him a little nudge in the right way. And verse 25 is what I came to read. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting, that means talking to one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So he tells us there not to forsake the assembly or not come together. So he says we don't want to be like some who have ceased to go to church. They don't get out and assemble with other believers and spend the Sabbath as they should. And he says we should exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So in other words, back in Paul's day, if they were spending a lot of time together, fellowshipping and talking about spiritual things, how much more should we be doing it today? Lots more, because we've got to get our focus changed from the world to the ways of Yahweh and what he's commanded us to do. Let's turn back now to Exodus chapter 20 and read the fourth of the Ten Commandments. It's the longest of the Ten Commandments. It's the only one that starts with the word remember, because God knew that Satan was going to make efforts to forget it, to cause men to forget it. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Sabbath is supposed to be a holy day. It's holy from the time the sun sets on Friday night till the time the sun sets on Saturday night. That's all God's holy day time there. Verse 9, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Hallowed means set apart. So it tells us there that we're not supposed to do any work. We're not supposed to make our son do any work, our daughter, or manservant, or our maidservant, or our cattle, or the stranger that's within our gates. So if we have a visitor there or something, you know, we're not supposed to have them out there working. God made the Sabbath commandment all-inclusive, because if he hadn't have, people would have rested the Sabbath and they'd have made their servants work on the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is supposed to be a day of rest for everyone. Everybody needs that time to rest and have some peace. I think we should go back and read in Genesis where God actually ceased from his work and actually established the Sabbath for us. We'll start in Exodus chapter 1. And we'll read verse 31. I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So it tells us that God rested on the Sabbath day. He created the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he ceased from his work. He blessed that day. He sanctified it. That means set it apart for holy usage. See, if you think about it, if we just go 7 days a week, we lose our relationship with God. We get more and more conformed to the world and its pattern. And Satan thinks he can just get the earth going faster and faster and faster to where he'll obliterate the knowledge of the Creator from the earth. And so God has set this one day apart for us to stop from all of our works, and we're really not even supposed to think about our works on that day. Our thoughts and our conversation should be turned towards God and holy things on that day. We're supposed to actually try to get completely out of the mold of what we have to do all week for a living and all those things, and think about heaven. Think about God. It's our day to, it's a date with God, basically. It's a time to come out of the world and be close to him. Let's go back to Jeremiah now, chapter 17. Beginning in verse 19. God sent Jeremiah down to say some words to the people of Israel. Jeremiah 17 and verse 19. Thus saith the Lord unto me, Go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by the which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem. So he told Jeremiah, I want you to go down to the gates of the city, and in all the gates, go to the different places in the city, because there'll be different people coming in each one that live in those areas, and say these words to them. Verse 20, and say unto them, Hear the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all Judah, as for all the people, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. He had a message for all of them. Verse 21, Thus saith the Lord, Take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. Now we're going to get into this a little later more and talk about it, but this is the place where the Jews got the idea that you couldn't bear a burden. That's why when Jesus healed the man and told him to pick up his bed and take it home, they said, they saw this guy walking down the street carrying his bedroll, and that was a foreign thing there. You didn't see that kind of thing. And they got after him about it. But this is what God had told them, and we're going to talk about that a little later, how they misconstrued it. Verse 22, he said, Neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day. He was really saying to them, hauling things around to buy and sell, do business, take things out of your house to sell. Neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. Verse 23, But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear, nor receive instruction. And it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work therein, Then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and princes, sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. And this is what we were talking about this morning. The Sabbath is a special sign between God and his people. God didn't tell them in this chapter, although we know he doesn't want them to do any other sin either, but he didn't tell them, don't hate your neighbor, and this city will stand forever. Don't covet your neighbor's goods, or this city will stand forever. He told them one thing, keep my Sabbath day. Because if you and I begin to keep the Sabbath day, then during that 24-hour period every week, the Holy Spirit's able to work on us in a special way, and he starts cleaning us up. He's able to get our attention because we cease from the world during that period of time. And God told them, if you'll keep my seventh day like you're supposed to, this city will stand forever. Now, obviously, there were other things in the city that needed to be corrected too, but if they had that 24-hour period right every week, God would work with them and with their minds to help them overcome all the other things. So he told them, if you do this, the city will remain forever. Verse 26, he told them, and they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places about Jerusalem and from the land of Benjamin and from the plain and from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices and meat offerings and incense and bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. So he told them, if you keep my Sabbath in this city will be the center of everything. Everyone will come here to worship. It will be great. Verse 27, he told them, but if you will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. So he set something before him. He told the prophet, go down and tell him, keep the Sabbath day. Don't do any work on it. If you do that, your city will remain forever. If you don't do it, I'll destroy your city. That's what God said. They didn't do it, and we all know the story. God destroyed the city. They plowed it like a field, and they all went into captivity. And when they got to come home, they remembered what God had said to them. And that's when they put all those rules into effect. They still didn't keep the Sabbath according to what God intended, because they didn't understand the spirit of keeping the Sabbath, but they made these rules. They said, God told our forefathers that if we carried a burden around on the Sabbath, he'd destroy our city. And he's destroyed it, and we finally got to come home. So now we're going to make sure that nobody ever bears a burden in this city again. So we're going to make all these rules. And they made all these rules, and they bogged the Sabbath down more and more and more. And the Jews, a lot of them still keep it that way today. It's a day of dread to them. Some of them believe you can't even carry an ink pen on the Sabbath day because that's bearing a burden. Some of them won't turn a light switch on in their house because that's a burden. Pushing the light switch up is a burden. So Satan's taken the joy out of the Sabbath. Satan doesn't care which ditch we're in. If we'll go out there and not even pay any attention to the Sabbath, work 7 days a week, he's happy. Or if you're going to try to keep it, he wants to take you to the other side and destroy the Sabbath for you. And so we have to find out what God wants us to do on the day and what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a special time with God. When we begin to keep it, we do come into covenant relationship with God. I'd like to turn over to Isaiah 56 now and read some verses there. God told us through the prophet Isaiah that anybody could take a hold of his covenant. In other words, anyone, just like when they left Egypt, it's called the mixed multitude. There were a lot of people besides Jews that left Egypt. There were Egyptians that said, I want to serve their God. I want to become a spiritual Jew. And they walked out of there with the Jews as they left Egypt. And in Isaiah 56, beginning in verse 1, it says, thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. So we're told to do two things there. Don't do any evil, and keep the Sabbath. But he actually tells you to keep the Sabbath before he tells you not to do any evil. Because if you begin to keep the Sabbath, God will begin to sanctify you. He begins to give you the power to not do any evil. Verse 3 says, neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from this people. Neither let the eunuch say, Behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. So he was talking to the lowest people on earth were the eunuchs. They had been castrated. They couldn't have any children, so their lineage was basically going to cease with their generation. And they were thought of as despised people. So he talked to them, the lowest people, and he said, I'm telling you that if you come in to me and keep my covenant, take hold of my covenant, verse 5 he says, even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. He told these people if they just start keeping his Sabbath, he would give them a name and a place within his house that was better than of sons and daughters. You really can't get any better than sons and daughters. You know, there's no step between son and father. If you're the son of God, you're in there. But he emphasized, he said, I'll give them a better name better than of sons and daughters, if they'll just take hold of my covenant and keep my Sabbath. And he says it several times. Verse 6, he says, Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant. See, the minute you start keeping the Sabbath, it's like reaching out to God. It's saying, okay, I believe you're the creator. I'm ceasing from my works today because you ceased from yours. I'm keeping your special day. It's taking hold of God's covenant. Verse 7, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. I'm sure this verse really bothered the Jews for a long time, because to think of the heathen being able to bring their sacrifice down to the temple and have it offered on the altar, it was a foreign thought. But God was telling these people, you'll have the full right of communion with me if you just begin to keep my Sabbath and take hold of my covenant. Verse 8, it says, The Lord God, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, Yet will I gather others to him besides those that are gathered unto him. It's the promise to the Gentiles that they could come in and be apart with God. And he says over and over there, if we begin to keep his Sabbath, begin to keep his Sabbath. And we begin to keep his Sabbath by just observing the Sabbath, by just a person who doesn't know any better, maybe at first all they know to do is just cease from their work, just not work this day. But then God begins to teach us what he wants us to do so we can really learn what we need to do. Let's turn over, keep your place here in Isaiah because we're coming back to Isaiah 58, but let's turn over to the little book of Amos, minor prophet after Daniel. Amos chapter 8. Should have said a little ways after Daniel, not immediately after Daniel, but shortly thereafter. Amos chapter 8. We'll start in verse 1, because this is where he had gotten to the point he was going to have to do something with them. Chapter 8, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, A basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, The end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. He told them, they have not kept my Sabbath, they haven't done these things, and I'm going to turn their praises at the temple into howling, and there's going to be so many dead people that they're going to move them around in silence. There's not anybody going to talk. Then he speaks to them to tell them what they've done. Verse 4, Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, When will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath day that we may set forth wheat? So one of the things they didn't do on the Sabbath day was buy and sell. And these people couldn't wait to get back at it. He said, when will the Sabbath be gone so we can set forth our wheat? In other words, when can we get back to business? So if God hated that spirit in them in that day, it shows us that, and I used to be this way, I used to be consumed with business. I thought about it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And on the Sabbath day, I had to fight it, try to get it out of my mind all day. Get up in the morning, and it was coming in there. What am I going to be doing tomorrow? It was always there. And when we have that with us, we can't really worship God like we're supposed to. We can try to push it out of our mind, but it comes right back. It's because our heart is in tune with the world, and we can't keep the Sabbath like God wants us to keep the Sabbath. He continues on and says, when will the Sabbath be gone that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great? In other words, the part they were getting them, giving them very little, charging them a lot for it, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, saying, surely I will never forget any of their works. So he told those people that had that spirit in them that he would not overlook their works. He wouldn't pass on by it. And if you and I have that spirit today, obviously we're going to have a problem with him also. Let's turn back now to Isaiah 58. Let's read there in verse 13 again. I was thinking about going through the whole chapter here, but we're getting a little late on time, so we won't do that today. All of chapter 58 deals with what God really wants us to do. And we could sum it up in a few verses. He says in verse 6, Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. That sounds a lot like the Sabbath, actually. Help the oppressed be free, undo the bands of wickedness, break every yoke. Verse 7, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh. That means not take care of your own family, as some of them did in Jesus' day when they didn't take care of their parents. Verse 8, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rear guard. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. Make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. So he's just finished in this chapter telling him what he really wants him to do. Help the poor out, do all these things. And then in verse 13, he turns to the Sabbath day. He says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath day, that is, we don't trample upon his Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. So there's the first thing he deals with that they were doing, their own pleasure on God's day. Now the Sabbath day is supposed to be a day of pleasure, but we're supposed to gain pleasure from coming and drawing near to God. The Sabbath is not a day to go play golf or go to the football game or do this, engage in our own kinds of pleasure. It's supposed to be a day we spend with God. It's a day set apart for us and him. We're not supposed to do our pleasure on that day. God says that. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. So in other words, we're supposed to have a spirit also that the Sabbath is supposed to be a delight to us. it really is supposed to be a day of joy. We're supposed to look forward to it. It's our day to come and meet before God. And it tells us in the new earth that every Sabbath we will go to Jerusalem to worship Yahweh. It's a day that we get to do something special. If you were going to get to see the President of the United States, you'd look forward to that day, going to meet him. And how much greater is Yahweh? We can't compare them. So we're supposed to call the Sabbath a delight. And we have to kind of start working on our mind, because for years I couldn't call the Sabbath a delight. It really wasn't a delight to me. I kept it and I ceased from my works on that day, but it really wasn't a delight. Now it is a delight to me, because I love to have this time where I know on Friday afternoon that I'm going to be able to just quit what I'm doing, wherever it is, leave it, forget about it, not think about it, and rest and have peace and think about God and holy things. So we're supposed to call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable. It's an honorable day. It's not supposed to be thought of as a common day. And shalt honor him, not doing thy own ways. So our own ways, that's just all the things we might like to do. Now, that's not to say that on Sabbath afternoon you can't take your family for a walk by the lake or go do something special. It's not saying that. But what it's getting to is we're not supposed to be doing our own ways and our own things on God's Sabbath day. Not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. So the Sabbath is a day we're supposed to kind of even guard our words. Not that we're going to say something impure, because we're not supposed to say that any day of the week. But the Sabbath's not really a day to talk about business, to talk about what I'm going to do next week, what I'm going to buy, what I'm going to sell, all those things. Those are our own words. And we're supposed to, on the Sabbath day, turn our thoughts towards heaven and be in communion with God. See, I believe today in heaven that everybody is there worshiping God. It's a special time, and we're like his extended Sabbath school branch. They're all there, and we're down here, and we can't be with him, and he has people all over the earth, and someday we're going to be there with him. But we're receiving a special blessing because we're doing what they're doing there. Not finding thy own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. Do we find the Lord to really be delightful in his ways, or are they galling to us? Are they restricting us, or are they joy to us? So when we learn to keep the Ten Commandments in the spirit of them, we'll be glad for them, because we'll be glad we don't do those things. We'll be glad that we're with God. We will delight in him, and we'll enjoy the fact that we've overcome those things and that our life has changed. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So he's going to take care of us. We're always going to have enough. Yeah, I've seen that in my own life. Lots of times I actually wonder where things are coming from to take care of things. But they always show up just at the right time. And God wants us to be that way. He needs to keep us dependent upon him so we appreciate it and know where it's coming from. I've read the Lord's Prayer 1,000 times and I never got that part. It took me a long time before it sunk in on me where he said, "Give us this day our daily bread." God wants to keep us dependent on him, to give us what we need every day. Not give us 1,000 days bread, give us our daily bread. Give us what we need. And as we do those things, God will bless us. And so I encourage each of you this week and throughout the rest of the Sabbath day today to really think about the things that God wants us to do. He wants us to assemble together, to praise him, to sing praises to his name, to honor him, to think about him, to think about what's going on in heaven, to think about our lives, what we need to do to get ready to go to heaven. The Sabbath is our special date every week with God, and it's a time that if we draw near to him, he promises to draw near to us, and we can breathe the atmosphere of heaven for a little while there as we separate ourselves from the world and turn off the things in the world and not think about business and all our pursuits and all those things. And as we do that, the Sabbath will become a real joy. It's really become that for me, and it wasn't for years. So I encourage you to really think about those things and try to keep the Sabbath in the full spirit of the law that God has set out for us to keep it in. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy great name. We thank you for the beautiful Sabbath day, a day of delight for us to come away from the world and especially come far away from it and enter into your presence and draw near to your throne. We ask today that you pour out your Spirit upon us and give us a special Sabbath day's blessing. Bless all those today who are hurting and in need. Bless them and help them to come to a knowledge of you and to have that peace that passes all understanding. Bless us and help us to use the Sabbath to extend thy work here in this world. Bless us and keep us. In Jesus' holy name we ask these things. Thy will be done, Almighty Father. Amen. One point that I meant to make as we were going through that is that the Sabbath is a day that we're supposed to use to extend God's kingdom also. It's a day, really, you know, when we go to the nursing home or we go see people that are less fortunate, it's a day, it really brightens up their day. So when they wonder, well, why did these people come here today? And you're able to tell them, well, we came here today because we take one day off every week and we go out and do things for the poor and the needy. And we came to see you today. It causes them to want to honor God and want to learn about him. Our closing hymn today is number 653, Don't Forget the Sabbath.